I want to thank God for every one of us in Jesus' name. Amen. But how did we get here? Hello. How did we get here? You know, the challenge with the church is not lack of revelation, especially in a prophetic church like ours. In a prophetic church, in an apostolic church, is not lack of revelation. It's not lack of the prophetic word. Amen. Because the prophetic word is always, you know, it's coming and the rest of it like that. It's not lack of revelation. It's not lack of the prophetic word. The prophetic word, God is always giving the word. He spoke to us at the beginning of the year that this would be a year of what? It's be a year of laughter. And in addition to that, that it will be a year of, yes, prophetic fulfillment. And that it will be a year of also what? Supernatural habit. When he said that, we have not found a campus. Hello, somebody. I said we have not found the campus. But, you know, on the 3rd of July, 2022, he said this.
They say tomorrow.
Amen.
Now say today.
Amen.
Now say today. Say today.
When I declared tomorrow as
I remember when I declared tomorrow as
somebody was in the
miracle.
Somebody was in the
miracle.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
You know, when I sat down, when I stood on there, you know what he said to me? He said, I'm giving you a campus.
You know what is a campus? A campus is not one building. A campus is multi-building. And he said, describing, he said, one building will be a studio. He said, one building will be a studio. Whereby there will be recordings taking place there. Whereby the television station will be booming out from there. And then another building will be a school. Because to impart the next generation. We're not going to call it a pursuit training school, but it's going to be a school where others will come and they'll be trained. And then you now have a multi-story building where you have the hall there. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord, somebody!
That's enough. Amen. That was the 3rd of July, 2022. 3rd of July, 2022. But now, how do we engage with the prophetic word? Which is the word I want to share with us. Because many times it's not lack of revelation. It's not that, oh, we don't know what exactly. Is how do you as an individual, when the word has gone forth, how do you engage with it so that you can bring that which is already in the spirit and settled in the realm of the spirit, bring it to down in the natural, so that what God is saying can become your experience? How do you engage with it? I want us to go to the book of Second Peter chapter number 1, engaging with the prophetic word. Second Peter chapter number 1, give it to me from verse 19 in the KJV. Second Peter chapter number 1, that when you hear a word, when God speaks to us, as he's spoken to us, that this is a season of total restoration. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, hallelujah, a season of total restoration. Praise God. Hallelujah. And I just want to thank, because I know she'll be watching now, all the way from the U.S., Dr. Bola, that is Mommy Pastor's junior sister, and I think she's even contacted her already. You know, she's watching, say, congratulations, it is done, it is done, it is done. So, Bola, if you are watching, thank you. God bless you. Amen. and for others who are watching too. Second Peter chapter 1 from verse 19. What does it say? For we also have a more sure word of prophecy. We have what? A more sure word of prophecy. Whereunto you do well that you take heed unto. So the prophetic word is not just something, it's not something that is said or spoken to excite you. It is a sure word of prophecy, whereunto you now, you talking to you, the hearer, you do well that you take heed to as unto a light that is shining in dark place until the day dawn and the what? Until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Verse number 20, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. That means you can't put your own interpretation to it. Amen. And then verse 21, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Everybody say, holy men of God. Spoke. I can hear you spoke as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. No wonder the Bible says, do not despise prophecy. Somebody say, but I'm not despising prophecy. No, you do. How do you despise prophecy? How do you despise prophecy? By not receiving it. By not taking heed to it. By allowing yourself to forget it. By not acting on it. By not taking it seriously enough. So the Bible says, don't despise it. Because prophecies are not just given to excite us. They're given to reassure us. Amen. They're given to do what? To reassure us. So it says in verse 19, for we have a sure word of prophecy. Verse 19, whereunto you do well to take heed unto as light that is shining. Because sometimes we don't know, how do I do this? Then God will release the prophetic word as light that is shining in darkness to help us navigate dark places, to help us to see when it seems to, how do I handle this? Then the God will give a prophetic word that will help us to navigate through. Sometimes it's like a GPS. Now when you don't know, how do I get from point A to point B? How do I get from point A to point B? Then God will now release the word that will help to guide you through. Give it to me in the TPT. To engage, like I said, that the challenge is not the prophecy. The challenge is not that God is not speaking. The challenge is not that God is not unveiling, revealing himself. The challenge is we are not engaging with it. What does it mean to engage? Hello, somebody. What does it mean to engage? To engage means to occupy. Engage means to occupy the attention of. Do you remember when you got engaged to your husband? Or when you got engaged to your wife? Suddenly after the engagement, she's become what? She's become what? The object of your attention. Suddenly your son has become really coming. That has become the song. You're just singing it. Oh wow. Yes. Do you know? And when somebody sees you, oh yes. And you even when the person has not, you flash the ring. Oh, I've not seen that. Oh, I got engaged yesterday. Wow. That becomes the talk. That becomes the object of what? The attention. Number two, to engage means to secure for. You have secure this. Hello? To engage means to secure. To engage means to hold fast to. To engage means to bind or to pledge. So when they were asking us to make pledges towards the repayment, what are they trying to say? They wanted to engage us. That, okay, yes, I know we're all on a journey. In fact, it's so, what we have is unusual. Because our lenders are not the people that are working with us. They do not even see us that we're borrowing for. They see us as partners. Because they are not the traditional bands. Hello? They are not the traditional bands. They are called the Baptist Financial Services. So they are not traditional bands. They said they want to partner with you. Because we've seen in you, and we've seen in this place a once in a lifetime, what? Sorry, once in a generation opportunity. Once in a generation opportunity. So they're saying, I want to engage with you. We want to partner with you. We want to go on this journey with you. So how do you engage when the word comes? What do you do when the word comes? TPT. He said, and so we have been given the prophetic word. We have been given what? The prophetic word. You know, at the beginning of this month, they said it's a season of total restoration. Do you remember? He said, there's open heavens over us. There's open heavens. And because of open heavens, we went to them. It's easy to secure the first extension. Because they were discussing with these people. And because they are not traditional, they're not just, they're looking at everything. They met with us. At that meeting, myself, mommy pastor, and Minister Wale were at the meeting. And they were asking questions about our church. Who are we? What do we do? What do we believe in? And I tried to answer the questions. What is our plan? Do we have a strategy? And I was sharing all of that. But the day before then, I had a meeting. Myself and Ebukun were sitting there because she has been a professional banker. And we're discussing all of these. And she was asking me very strong questions. Yes, daddy, how about this? How about that? She was asking me and... to God be the glory. I was just answering, I was just answering, I was just answering. Where were the answers coming from? By the time we got to the meeting, they started asking the question that she asked me. So I went there with the answers. He was also there. Praise God. Hallelujah. 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 So the Lord spoke to us, preparing us. So how do you engage with it? Number one, listen very, very well. How do you engage? Don't allow prophecies to slide by. Don't forget it, because many times we leave well, and by the second day we've forgotten. We do not remember. Let me make it plain to you. You cannot, the prophetic word you have forgotten cannot confer benefit on you. It doesn't work like that. You've forgotten it, you don't remember it, and you want it to work. It doesn't work like that. So, Peter, by the unction of the Holy Spirit, now said, he said, so we have been given the prophetic word, Then he now said what? The written message of the prophet. So number one way to engage with the prophet is write it down. Hello? So just listening to it will not work. Will not work. You need to write it down. Whenever a word is released, whenever a prophetic word is declared, that blesses you. A word that you know this is for me, write it down. Capture it immediately. At that moment, there's something called a divine moment, a supernatural moment, a moment that when the word goes forth, you capture it. Because prophecy is like a guided missile, looking for the believing heart to walk in the believer's life. Don't allow it to just what linger. Hello? If you allow it to linger, it will become a litter. I say, if you allow it to linger, it will become a litter. You know what a litter is? You know, if you just, because you are not, you have not placed value on it. Write it down. I'm not saying everything, but the one that you think this is God speaking to me, this word is for me. In fact, the word, when the prophecy is being given, you need to, so that you can walk in your own life, write it down. That's the first thing, because writing makes an exact man. Writing makes a perfect person. I used to think I had a fantastic memory until many years ago that somebody asked me, it was a phone number of a friend, and I would just rattle numbers. I would just rattle, and then the person asked me that, and I said, from that day I realized that, you need to learn to write some things down. Even if you think you've got a fantastic memory. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. People have asked me, how do you remember scriptures? I don't cram them. I don't say, first, second Peter. No, I don't do that. I fellowship with them and they stay inside. Write them. Everybody say, write them down. Number two, where do you write them? Write it first of all in your journal. Everybody needs to have a prophetic journal. Everyone. I'm being very right. You must have a prophetic journal, a place where you write the thing that God is saying to you too. I was speaking to somebody, there's sometimes God will speak to me and I'll be so sure I'll tell people, write it down. I was speaking to one of us. He's been such a blessing, supporting, supporting the building and everything like that. And the Lord said something to me about her. And I told her, God said to me, tell her, she said to me, I'm going to prosper her for what she's doing. And I said to her, write it down. Write it down. In fact, I'm not sure whether she's here. I'm not going to mention anybody's name. But I'm not sure whether I told her, write the time, the date down. How will you remember when you have not written it down? That's why I could tell us that the word came 3rd of July 2022. Because it was recorded. Write it down. Have a journal. Have a prayer journal. Have a prophetic journal where you write things down. If you don't know how to record things, you are likely to be getting less and less and less from him. Because it's not just you hearing. It is you acting and making use of what you've heard. And if you've not recorded and noted it and put it down somewhere, there's no way. There's no way you'll be able to act on it. So number one, write it in your journal. Number two, write it where? Write it where? Where do we write it? Somebody's write it here. So where is this one? What? Write it in your heart. Write it in your heart. Because in the Old Testament, prophecies, the prophetic scripture was written where? On tablets of stone. But in the New Testament, it says, no, the day is coming that you no longer just write it on tablets. Write it on paper. What is on paper must enter into your heart for it to be effective. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 8. Hebrews chapter 8. Write it down. Have a journal that you write things down. Number two, write it in your heart. Write it in your heart. Hebrews chapter 8 from verse number 7. Number 7. What does it say? Hebrews 8 from verse 7. He said, now, if the first covenant had been faultless, which one is the first covenant? The old covenant. Then no place would have been sought for a second. Verse number 8. Because finding fault, the Old Testament, what is the main fault of the Old Testament? What is the main fault of the Old Testament? Because it was a covenant made between God and man. A man lacked the capacity to keep his own part of the bargain. Why? Because of the flesh. Because of the flesh. That is why you need to make extra effort sometimes to keep promises. Because sometimes when you make a commitment, situations would arise to challenge that commitment. You are living in a fallen world. Satan is a promise breaker, not a promise keeper. You know, we're singing, the song there, that waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. That is God. That is not Satan. He doesn't keep promises. He doesn't keep his word. And what he does is always looking for many that will join him in doing that. So whenever a promise is made, he attacks that promise. So that he makes it difficult for you or incapacitate you to fulfill the promise or keep the promise, knowing fully well that the provision for you to excel is in that promise. So he attacks the promise to invalidate it. And if you are not strong, you yield to it. You fall to it. Everybody say promise keeper. Promise keeper. So what makes the New Testament so solid and different, faultless from the Old Testament? What made the Old Testament with fault? What was the fault of the Old Testament? It was covenant between God and man. A man has been unable to what? Or they were not able to keep their own side. So what made the New Testament different? What made it so strong? What made it faultless? What made it reliable? What made it that we can build our future and our lives on these words of this covenant? It's between God and God. Between the Father and the Son. He now invited us to be partakers of the agreement, the covenant he made with his Father. And I'm telling you, God the Father and God, they don't break covenants. They don't break covenants. Praise God. So the Father entered into a covenant with the Son, so that the Son becomes the guarantor of that covenant. And I can tell you, this one cannot be attacked. Praise the name of the Lord. I said, praise the name of the Lord. That is why after he rose, after he, the moment after he rose from the dead, do you remember when he rose from the dead? The Bible says Mary and Peter, the disciples, went there. And when they got there, they were looking for him. They said, where is he? Peter ran inside and looked, and they saw that where he has laid, that he was no longer there, because Jesus is not in the grave. Hello. And he's not on the cross either. Stop wearing the cross with Jesus crucified on the cross. He's not on the cross. If you're going to wear the cross at all, wear the cross. Don't put him on the cross. He's not on the cross. Tell your number, say he's no longer on the cross. Neither is he in the grave. So they went there and they saw, but there's something that he did that they recognized. You know, the clothing that was put around his head, he wrapped it and he placed it there. And they saw that was a sign to the Jews, because whenever you've gone to the house of a Jew to have dinner, to have lunch, if you've enjoyed it, if it's, this food is so good, you know what they will do? They will put a particular cloth and put it on the side of the table to say that we've enjoyed it, we're coming back again. So when they saw that, they said, they recognized that we can't find him, but I'm sure he must be somewhere. He must be somewhere. But that is why Mary stood. Mary stayed. All others went away. And Mary said, and he asked one, he said, where is it that they buried my Lord? He thought it was a gardener that was just standing. And Mary looked at him. He said, can you show me my Lord? And he said to her, he said, Mary. Oh, wow. He said, Mary. Oh, Rabboni. And she wanted to hug him. He said, no, don't touch me, because I'm yet to go to your and my Father, because he was yet to ascend to heaven. Because after that, he ascended to heaven. And he took his blood that was shed to the heavenly utensils of worship. And he cleansed the utensils that have been violated by the sin of Adam. Because until that was rectified, the New Testament cannot be established. He went there. That is why your sins, God will never hold your sin against you. That is why he does not remember again, because they've been washed by the blood, the everlasting blood that was shed on the cross of Calvary. And after that, he returned again to appear to the disciples, because the New Testament has now been what? Settled. Write it in your hearts. Verse number 8, they're fighting for with them. He said, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they did not continue in my covenant and I disregarded them, says the Lord. For this is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, says the Lord, I will put my laws in their mind and write them where? On their, and I'll be their God and they shall be my word people. This word, the word that you're giving, the word that you receive, you must make sure that they are written in your heart. How do we write them in our hearts? How do we write the words in our hearts? By word. Oh, wow. Let me take you to Joshua chapter 1. I've shared this with you before. I will never forget. I'll share with you again. In 1991, it was my birthday. And I went before God. And, I said, today I'm not going to ask you, because some of us, we grew up bombarding the gates of heaven. I said, today, no bombardment of gates of heaven. I said, and you know, you don't need to bombard the gates of heaven if you have the key. I said, if you have the key, praise God. Do you get to your gate and you're shaking it like this? Who are those who shake the gate like this, or knock the door, or press the bell? Those who don't have the key, they don't have access. But when you have the key, you can open the gates and the gates will unlock to you. But at that time, we're bombarding the gates. And I said, today, Lord, I'm not going to bombard any gate. I just want to come and worship. I just want to come and praise. And he said, go to Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. And I went there. And I saw there this book of the law. Oh, my God. Shall not depart from your mouth. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. What do you speak concerning your situation? What do you say about your challenges? This book of the law shall not depart. It's good for it not to depart when you are here, when you are with pastor, when pastor is preaching with passion. I said, everybody declare it. We'll declare it. Oh, hallelujah, God is good. Anybody can declare God is good in church. But when you get home, hello, when you face the contradictions, when you get on the road, when you get to work the following day, when you face the contradictions, what do you still declare? I said, what do you still declare? The word of the Lord, thank you. And it is not what you say occasionally that works, it's what you say consistently. That is why I've been announcing to you, that is why I kept saying to you since last year, that in the face of contradictions, I can hear you, in the face of contradictions, maintain, because there will be contradictions. And in the face of it, when you are faced with those contradictions, when the circumstances are not looking like it, in fact, when the circumstances are looking opposite, when you have to go back for the second extension, do you know that we were told twice that they will never grant extensions? They said, no way, we will not grant extensions. And we went back again. Praise God. Hallelujah. We went back again. And they granted. Don't tell him this. Hello. I said, don't tell him this. One of the agents there, they gave me a call. And they say, I've worked with them in the process of related with them. And they said, well, how far with this? We learned you got another extension. I said, yes. They said, but how far? Well, they got back to us. They're considering it. They're progressing it. Everything is working. We've had to submit this. We've had to submit that. And the person said, Pastor. I said, yes. Said, let me tell you, based on my experience, based on what? Said, based on my experience, if the banks will grant this approval, they will have granted it. The reason why they have not granted it is because they are not going to give it to you. And everybody say, in the face of contradictions, maintain your declarations. And I said, I allowed him to finish. And I said, we're not dealing with the traditional banks. I'm not denying your experience, but this touch is different. I said, this touch is different. This one is different. I'm not denying your experience, and I'm not denying the fact that traditional banks, but we're not dealing with traditional banks. We are dealing with, I mentioned the name of the finance. I said, these are the ones we are dealing with, and they've said to us, we are progressing the thing, and the thing is looking very well. And they said, can we have any email to that? I said, I have one. So in the midst of the contradictions, I maintain my word. My declaration. So this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. Amen. So what has been departing from your mouth? Has the book of the law been departing from your mouth? What have you been declaring concerning the situation? But you shall meditate. What does it mean to meditate? What does it mean to meditate? To what? To re-speak. It means to re-speak it. It means, yes, I know that you have to think deeply about it. Give your thoughts to it. That is true, but that is Oxford Advanced Learner's Dictionary. And there's nothing wrong with it. But if you are not declaring what is there, hallelujah, the power to assess it will not be there. It's good to put them in your heart. Think deeply about it. But you know what? What you're thinking deeply about eventually will become your words. That's why it says, watch your words, watch your thoughts. They will become your words. Watch your words. They'll become your actions. Your life will follow the pattern or the path of your dominant thought. I'll repeat. I say your life will follow your what? The path of your dominant thought. So be careful what you are thinking. Be careful what you allow yourself to dwell upon. And because what you are thinking, eventually you will speak. You will declare it. Amen. And sometimes it doesn't ask for permission before it will start to come out of your mouth. Have you walked through the mall? Thank you. And then suddenly they are playing a song. A-Y-S-E-O. A-Y-S-E-O. It's an A-Y-S-E-O. And you say, oh, wow. I remember that song, A-Y-S-E-O. And then you are walking on your own. You are not singing it. Then by the time you get to the car, you are driving, you just find yourself saying, A-Y-S-E-O. A-Y. So where is that coming from? No, I'm not singing this. I'm not singing this. But where is it coming from? Why? Because you heard it. And you thought about it. And before you know what is happening, it's becoming your words. And then it will become your, if you don't stop it there, you find yourself now take another step further. It's becoming your action. You are acting on it. Even though you did not intend to. So this word must be written in your heart. Why? So that it must become your dominant thought. so that the word of God must become your dominant thought. Amen. Concerning every area of your life, concerning your family, concerning your finances, concerning your, the word of God must become your dominant thought. Don't let Channel 7 be dictating to you. Don't let your feelings be your dominant thought. I'm not saying that we don't have feelings. I'm not denying the fact that we have feelings, but let the word of God be your dominant thought. He said, don't let it depart from your mouth. He said, but you shall meditate in it. Speak it when? Day. And speak it when? Night. So that you will observe to what again? To do. Because only those who do get blessed. Only those who what? Not hearers alone. Those who do. You must hear, you must speak, and you must do. Everybody say hear, speak, and do. Observe to do according to all that is written therein. At least the ones that you know. The ones that you know, do. Because you can't get more if you are not doing what the ones that you know. Because every revelation has with it an equal amount of responsibility. The moment it's revealed to you, then the next thing is asking for or is looking for is your action. Are you doing it? Because it's your doing that qualifies you for more. When you do it, then he gives more. When you do it, then he gives more. When you do it, then he gives more. That is why sometimes I ask people to receive offering, to receive tithes, to come and lead us as a church to receive tithes and offering. But I ask all of them a question. Are you a tithe payer? Because you are not a tithe payer, there's no point in saying, everybody, come and pay your tithe. Everybody, are you ready? Pay your tithe, pay your tithe. You have been an hypocrite. Hello, somebody. Because you can't ask people to do what you was yourself. You are not what? You are not doing. So when I step here, I'm checking this thing that I'm saying to you. Am I doing them? Because there's no point. That it lacks the power. When you don't do and you're asking people to do, there's no power in it. If you want the power to accompany your word, then you do. You practice it. Don't do it when you are with pastor. Hello? You know, it was sharing last week. I was talking about service. And he's saying, add. He said, everybody be involved. Everybody be engaged. And we need that going to the campus. He said, but don't do it when pastor is coming. Oh, when pastor shows up. Oh, everybody, are we going to party? What are we going to do? Hey, everybody, you're looking at pastor like this. Everybody, you're going to do. That is not doing. It's called service. And do you know that pastor is not the one who rewards? Jehovah who sees is the one who rewards. So you do it unto the Lord, not unto pastor, because I may not be there. I'm not everywhere. So observe to do according to other, for then you, who will make your way, is prosperous. He said, you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good word. You have good success. Make your way prosperous and you have good success. This is so important. Very, very important. Not just for us here, for those who are watching. It's so important for us to be doing so that what we are declaring has what carries the power and the presence of God to affect them in their situation and wherever they are located. Because the word of God does not have limitation of time and space. I say it does not have limitation of what? Time and space. It does not expire. It's not like medication. If you don't use it by June 2024, it's gone. No. This word is eternal because it carries the very breath of God. So you make your way prosperous and then you have what? Good success. How many of us are aiming for that? That's what you desire. You want to make your way prosperous. You want to have good success. Then do the word that you know. And I'll bring this to a conclusion. Amen. By taking us back to that 2 Peter chapter number 1. 2 Peter chapter number 1. TPT now. TPT. He said, look at it. The message of the prophets made more reliable and fully validated by the confirming voice of God on the mountain. So the voice is confirming the word. So you must have the word, and when the word comes, it confirms the word. Hello, somebody? Hello, somebody? So the word is the foundation. The prophetic word is the foundation. And when he's talking about the word here, it's not just limited to the prophetic utterance, but he's talking about the prophetic scripture. Because the scripture is prophetic. That is why it remains the same yesterday and what? Today and forever. If it's not prophetic, then it will not be working today. Even though it was declared over 3,000, 4,000, 6,000 years ago. Hello? And that is why tomorrow it will walk. And when you've left here, it will continue to walk unless Jesus returns. Because the scriptures are prophetic. They carry the breath and the life of God. Hello? And he says this, and you will continue to do well. How will you continue to do well? Okay. How will you continue to do well? If you stay focused on A. That means don't allow yourself to be distracted. Stay focused on A. God has spoken to us. It's a season of total what? Then hold on to it. You may not be looking like it now. It may not sound like it in your life now, but hold on to it. And how do you declare it? Think about it. Speak it to your situation. Hold on to it. Hold on to it. Stay focused on it. Say, for this prophetic message is like the moment you are doing that, it will become like a piercing light shining through every gloomy place. Every gloomy place, the light, boom, shining through the gloomy place. You know, a gloomy day when things are what? Or what is what they call? Dark, gloomy. You can't do anything. You can't go out. He said the word of God has the capacity and the strength to penetrate the gloom. And then until the dawning of a new day, when the morning star rises in your heart. When is the morning star rising in your heart? When suddenly that word becomes your own. When it becomes revealed to you. When, you know, when suddenly, wow, the revelation that pastor shared, revelation that daddy pastor shared has now become your own revelation too. No, you are walking in it. You're not just saying that the pastor said this. You're saying, oh yes, he said that, but you know, this is what I can take away from me. This is what God is saying to me from that. This is what God is revealing to me from that. What is happening? This morning star rising in your heart. And there's no way the morning star will rise that it won't turn you into a star yourself. Amen. And you become why? You can only become a shining star because the revelation is shining there. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. When we went to meet with the man, and he was meeting with us, asking us questions. Suddenly, he came out. He said, there's so many things you are saying that we can learn from. And he started writing down. I said, eh? He started writing down. I said, we can learn from this. 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 Started writing those things down. Suddenly, he could see that there's some things here that, oh, we need to also, we can learn from. Even though it was supposed to be intervened, asking us questions, but there's some things that we started to say. They say, wait a minute, there's something that we can learn from here. And he said this, he said, you know that, you know, ministries like this, by the time we start to partner with you, and God start to do some things, people will also get interested and wants to be part of what you're doing. Part of what you're doing. That is why on the day of dedication, we're going to invite the whole town. You know what I mean by that? You know, invite your friends. And you know what our song will be on that day? I've been singing it since last year. See what the Lord has done. Hallelujah. See what the Lord has done. What we waited for has come to pass.
See what the Lord has done. How do you engage with the prophetic word? Write it down. Number two, write it in your heart. Number three, stay focused on it. Stay focused on it. Don't be distracted. Don't allow distractions to distract you from the word. And stay until. Everybody say until. Because anybody can believe God for 2 days. Everybody can believe God in an atmosphere like this. But until the day dawn and the day star rises in your heart. And you know what he said to me now? He said, I gave that to you as a proverb. As a proverb. So that you can also learn and apply it in your personal situations. That when it's not looking like it, when it looks as if nothing will come out, hold on to my word. When they've told you no more extensions, believe that I can still extend it. When it looks as if that situation is impregnable, hold on to until the day star would arise in your heart. It's given to us as a proverb. It's good to dance. It's good to rejoice. The enabling law will enable us. And the condition they've asked us to meet, we'll meet it. Well, in addition to that, is for you to hold on to this in your life too. So that you can apply it. Especially when you're faced with contradictions in your circumstances. Let's rise up. I want us to go to the book of Isaiah 66 from verse number 5. Isaiah 66 verse number 5. Hear the word of the Lord. I've given you the word of the Lord. He said, hear the word of the Lord, you who tremble at his word. Your brethren who hated you, who cast you out for my name's sake, let the Lord be glorified, that we may see your joy. Hear the word of the Lord and tremble at his word. Look at that. Look at what followed. Your brethren who hated you. Contradictions. Look at what followed. Who cast you out? Contradictions. And it says, but let the Lord, if you hold on, if you tremble, that the Lord will be glorified. And then your joy will be seen. But what will happen to them? The opposite. Let's continue. Verse number 66. It said, the sound of noise from the city and a voice from the temple. There's a noise coming from the city. Or should I put it, if they were to write this today, they would say, the sound of noise from social media. That's what they would say. The sound of noise from social media and a voice from the temple. The voice of the Lord who fully repents. Pays his enemies. Amen. Praise God. Now what will happen? Let's continue. He now says, look at it. That is though for those who tremble. Before she was in labor, she gave birth. Before her pain came, she delivered a male child. Because there will still be. Because we have three phases. The vision, we're going, to, you know, there's a phase one, there's a phase two, there's a phase three. But look at it. We must be trembling at his word. We must be trembling at his word. So that before the pain of labor, we've given birth. Amen. That can only happen supernaturally. No more struggle. In the name of Jesus Christ. As we tremble on his word. I want us to pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, rededicate your life to him. Rededicate your family to him. Rededicate your future to him. He holds your future in his hands. Rededicate everything to him in the name of Jesus Christ. Rededicate it to him. Oh, makatolo mama sheli maseki and tete. Rededicate yourself to him in the name of Jesus Christ. Now pray after me. Heavenly Father, I have come today to rededicate my heart and life to you. Father, I pray right now that in the name of Jesus, grant me the grace to tremble at your word in Jesus' name, and confirm your word in my life with signs following. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.